Good morning to everyone. It is both an honor and a privilege to stand before you to present this message from the Word of God. I've had the good fortune of being able to preach the gospel for some 35 years, and it has never, ever become ordinary or tedious to preach the gospel. It's too great of a message to become ordinary. And there's too great of a work to be done to become tedious. I've indeed been honored to preach as long as I have, and I pray that the Lord gives me more time. It's the greatest message that man could ever hear, amen? And I'm glad to be here presenting that message to you today. I hope the things that are said will be an encouragement to you in your walk with God. I have selected a topic that I believe is really very important. We need to really remember this principle that's on the board today. Let brotherly love continue. Let's pray together. Holy Father in heaven, we're thankful for this day. Father, we're thankful for the first day of the week. Father, it gives us an opportunity at the beginning of our week to focus upon you and your Son. And Father, to make sure that our priorities are in order. But not only that, but to give you praise, honor, and glory for being a great and awesome God who blesses us beyond measure with blessings we do not even deserve. Father, we're thankful for the greatest blessing of all, the blessing of your Son, Jesus Christ. We're so thankful that you loved us enough to send him to die on the cross for our sins. We're so thankful that Jesus loved us enough to carry out that very mission. Father, we're also thankful that he was raised from the dead. Father, we recognize and know that his resurrection from the dead gives us a hope of the resurrection on the last day. And with that, we rejoice. Father, thank you for the blessing of the church, where we can gather together as fellow believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, a family to lean upon when times are difficult. When we need help in our daily journey, our walk down that narrow pathway leading to life. Thank you also for the avenue of prayer, where we can cast all of our cares and concerns upon you, and you hear us, and you answer our prayers according to your will. For all of these blessings and many more, thank you, Father. And we pray that our worship today has honored you the way you deserve to be honored, and that you, Father, may be acknowledged as the one true God of heaven, that you are a great and awesome God. Now, Father, as we open up your word, we pray that we'll drink deeply from it. We'll challenge our hearts and minds, and Father, be strengthened in our faith, encouraged in our walk to be pleasing unto you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It was just read to us from Matthew, the 22nd chapter, beginning in verse 34. Jesus' answer to the question that was asked him by a lawyer: what is the greatest commandment? He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Love is indeed the paramount responsibility for all Christians. This is also told to us by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 13. He says, "And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three. And the greatest of these is love." With this thought in mind, I want to discuss one simple verse of Scripture that contains just four words. a verse of scripture that is a part of the second greatest commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. From these four distinct words that we're going to look at, I want for us to explore three principles concerning brotherly love. This scripture is found in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, in the first verse. He simply states, let brotherly love continue. Hopefully, as a result of our time together, we will come to appreciate the manner in which we are to relate to one another in the body of Christ. Three principles in four words. The first principle is the demand of brotherly love. In the text of Hebrews 13:1, we need to know it was written in the imperative form in the Greek. That is to say, it was written in the form of a commandment that was given to us. It's not merely a suggestion or an option for us. It is a commandment. Let brotherly love continue. You know, there are other verses of Scripture that refer to this very principle. When I think about verses of Scripture concerning love, I think of the Apostle John. And he had much to say about love, not only the words of Jesus, but his inspired words to his audience. In 1 John 3:11, he says, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." And then he goes on to say in the same chapter, down in verse 23, "And this is his commandment, that we believe on the name of his Lord Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment." So not once, but twice in that verse of Scripture, he tells us that loving one another is a commandment, is demanded by God that we do that. This is also found in 1 John chapter 4, in verse 7, in verse 11, and in verses 12 as well. But to me, the question is, why is brotherly love so important to God? Why is it so important that God would want us and have to command us to love one another? I think the Scripture bears out the answer to these things. First of all, it is important for us to show brotherly love to one another because it lets the world know to whom we belong, and that is Christ Jesus. In John 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another." And then he says this, by this love for one another, he says, "all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another." It is our way of showing the world to whom we belong. If we have a deep and profound love for one another, if we seek the greatest good for those that we love and claim to love, Jesus says, the world will know that you belong to me. But also it's important for us to show brotherly love because it serves as an inspiration for everything that we do. Paul talked about this in 1 Corinthians 13. We had already looked at one passage earlier in verse 13, but I want to look at the beginning three verses. He talks about this very aspect. Let's turn in our Bibles and look at this together. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you would, in verses 1 through 3. He says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love," he says, "I'm nothing." In verse 3, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned but have not love, it profits me nothing." The Apostle Paul here is telling us that we can do the right thing, but for the wrong reasons. We need to make sure that we show love for one another as we should. It should have meaning for everything that we do. Let me tell you a story about this that will kind of illustrate what I'm saying. It's an illustration that kind of embarrasses me, but it's important. Not too long ago, I went into Walmart, and I was very busy, and I was in a hurry. Well, you go to Walmart in a hurry, you're already at strike one. You're just not going to get out very quickly. But I thought I could rush in and grab the few things that I needed, get in the line, and get out. Well, I got into the line, but it was a little bit longer, and I was waiting impatiently. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw one of the young ladies that worked there coming to the register, and she was going to turn on her light, and I said, all right. And she looked at me, and I looked at her, and she said, come on over. So without considering anybody in front of me, I said, all right, I'm going to be selfish because I'm in a hurry and I'm important. So I made my way over that way, and I got right around this little kiosk, and I got clipped from behind by a motorized cart. It was a lady with her daughter, and she says, oh, I am so sorry. You go ahead. And I said, no, ma'am, you go ahead. I want you to go first. And so she put her items from the cart onto the conveyor belt, and the lady went through it, and she said, that'll be $23.86. And she looked through her purse, and I'm in a hurry now, remember that. And she looks, and she goes, oh, I only have $20. She looks at her daughter and says, sweetheart, do you have $5 that I could borrow that I could finish paying for this? Well, Mom, I do, but my purse is out in the car. She goes, would you be a dear and go get it? And I said, oh, no, that will not be necessary. I would be glad to pay that $3.86. And I did, and she thanked me. I said, oh, you're welcome. Wasn't any trouble at all. Did I do the right thing? Yes. Did I do it for the right reasons? No. I didn't do it because I loved her. I didn't invite her to church. I didn't think about anything but getting through that line. We can do the right things, but without the right meaning behind it. It's important that we show brotherly love at all times to all people because it gives us an inspiration and meaning for all that we do. How much better it would have been if I would have taken the time and said, it was a pleasure for me to do that. You know what? I would love for you and your daughter to come to church on Sunday. That would have given real meaning to what I did, but I didn't do that because I was in a hurry and thinking only of myself. Brotherly love gives us meaning for everything that we do. It also allows us to walk in the manner that we should. We know this to be true because of Ephesians 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. It's important for us to love one another because it helps us to walk in a worthy manner. And also because it allows us to maintain unity in the body of Christ. I've never been in a congregation or been involved with a congregation who loved one another and was not unified. I have heard of, however, of congregations where love for one another did not exist and there was not unity. Love is so important to be unified. That's found in Philippians, the second chapter, in verses 1 and 2. He says, therefore, if there is any consolation of Christ, if there's any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. When we learn to express our love one for another in the body of Christ, we will be of the same mind. We will be of the same judgment. We will be of one accord. It's that important. Beyond that, it also is important for us to show brotherly love because it keeps us encouraged. I cannot tell you how many times a brother or a sister in Christ has reached out to me with brotherly love, and it has helped me in my journey with God. Sometimes that journey with God, as you know, is difficult, it's challenging. But when others reach out with love to you, it makes it so much more bearable, and it's so much more helpful in our walk with God. That's Colossians 2 and verse 2. And then it also allows us to go on to maturity. How can anyone say that they are a mature Christian who does not love his fellow brother or sister in Christ? Paul wrote about that in Colossians 3 and verse 14. He says, but above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. That's the bond of maturity. So when we look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 1, we see the phrase, let brotherly love continue. And we see the first principle, and that is, it is a demand. It is demanded of us to have brotherly love. But beyond this, secondly, there's also the degree of brotherly love that's talked about. He says in the text of Hebrews 13, 1, let brotherly love continue. There is never to be a ceasing or a stop to the love that we show one for another in the body of Christ. Expressing our love for one another is not some kind of checklist and say, well, brother so-and-so needed something done, so I did that for him, so I've shown brotherly love, and I don't ever have to do that again. Oh, no. He says, let brotherly love continue. That's to the degree to which we are to do that. But you know what? The Bible has much more to say about the degree of love that we are to show one for another. Not only should it continue, but it ought to be to the degree that Jesus has loved us. We've already seen that in John 13, verses 34 and 35. And also in Ephesians chapter 5, in verses 1 and 2 that we talked about. He says, you love one another even as I have loved you. How much has Jesus loved us? He loved us enough to stretch out his arms and allow himself to be nailed to a cross and die one of the cruelest deaths ever invented by man. Now you compare that to the love that you show for one another. And can you say that it measures up? Have you loved one another to that degree? Have you made sacrifices for one another, for their well-being and not your own? Jesus said in John 15 and verse 12, greater love has no one than this, than one to lay down his life for his brother. We need to know that there is a degree to the brotherly love that we show. It's not a checklist. We're to continually show that love. We're to sacrificially show that love. And even beyond that, he says we are to love one another to the degree that everything we do should be done out of love. We've already seen that in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. But he also states it in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 14. Paul also states we are to love each other to the degree that we increase and abound in our love for one another. That is to say, we need to continually look for opportunities to show our love one for another. Not to be complacent in where we are in our relationships, but to look out for others, to find that avenue by which we can better the lives of those around us, to increase, to abound, and to overflow in that love. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. And then he says, finally, concerning the degree of love, we should love one another fervently with a pure heart. Not only does our love continue, not only does it increase, not only is it measured by Christ's love for us, but it ought to be a fervent. There needs to be a depth to that love. A fervency, a passion, and a desire to seek the greatest good for someone else. 1 Peter 1:22. since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently. And then he says, with a pure heart, make sure that what you're doing is in purity, the purity in your manner, the purity in your motives as well. Love one another fervently, he says, with a pure heart. Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue. There's a demand to it, and there's also a degree to it as well. And then finally, there's also a display that's involved, because love always involves action. And we need to make sure that we seek the greatest good for others and not for ourselves. I want to emphasize that love should never be expressed with an ulterior motive. I'm going to do for somebody else hoping that they'll do something for me in return. That should never be the means by which we love one another. There is a display. How do you show this kind of love? What does the Bible say is involved in this kind of love one for another? There are several scriptures that speak to this. As we close out our lesson for today, here are some suggestions to help you, to guide you, to have that degree of love that you should, and to reach that demand of brotherly love as we have been commanded. The Bible tells us, first of all, that we should give preference to one another in honor. True love says, it's about you and not about me. I want your life to be honored. I really don't care about whether or not I'm honored. That's true sacrifice in love. It's lifting up the life of somebody else. This is found in Romans, the 12th chapter and the 10th verse. Probably one of the most practical chapters in all of the New Testament. He says in verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another in love. If I'm truly going to love you, I'm going to make sure that your life is honored and not mine. That's one of the displays of brotherly love. The second is serving one another. And this goes against human nature, does it not? Human nature says we need to take care of ourselves because nobody else will. But for the Christian, our thinking is different. He tells us that our love one for another teaches us to serve the needs of one another. And if you look around you at the fellow members that you have in this body of Christ, I can guarantee you that there are those who have needs that should be met. The reason why I know that is that's everywhere. It's in the congregation where I preach to. Members have needs that should be met. We need to serve one another and meet those needs. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, for you, brethren, have been called to freedom, spiritual freedom. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Think about your own life for just a moment. In just these two principles that we've mentioned concerning the display of love, can you say in your heart that it is your desire to honor somebody else above yourself? Is it your desire to serve their needs as Christ would have us? The next is, and I think this is one that is probably most overlooked, it's bearing with one another. That's Ephesians chapter 4 in verses 1 and 2. Brethren, I can promise you at some time in your Christian walk, you're going to be offended by what somebody else says and does. You know why? Because people are human and we're human too. I've said some things that I have regretted. And I've had some actions that fell short of what I think God would have me to do. And I've needed people to overlook my shortcomings. And maybe you need to overlook the shortcomings of others as well. That's part of what love is. Love is saying, I don't think David really meant it that way. I think maybe he was just having a bad day. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. We all need to do that in the church. We need to overlook the shortcomings of others. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says that with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, we need to bear with one another in love. We need to learn to overlook the shortcomings of others, as hard as it may be. Next, we need to consider how we can inspire and encourage one another. Part of loving one another is lifting them up and encouraging them in their walk with God to do things that they had not previously done to the glory of God. The writer of Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 24 speaks to this very matter. In Hebrews the 10th chapter in the 24th verse, the writer says, "And let us consider one another to stir up love and good works." And then finally, we're called to be compassionate, tender-hearted, and courteous. That's 1 Peter 3 in verse 8. All of these are displays of love. As you look at that list on the board above my head, can you say that that's the kind of love I display to others? Are you loving one another as you should? I pray that you are. I pray that you're living up to that demand of Hebrews 13 in verse 1. Four short words, but they pack a powerful punch, do they not? Let brotherly love continue. Brother John has spoken great things about you all, that you do have a brotherly love, and I'm glad for that. And I pray that that will continue, because your success and the glory that you show to God is dependent upon how much you love one another. So I would encourage you to keep it up. But if there are some of you who have looked and listened today and said, you know what? I have not been as selfless as I could be. I haven't shown that brotherly love, and I just really need to repent of that. And I need to be forgiven. I need to start over with God and allow Him to forgive me and to heal me and to help me to do better the next time. If that's the case, I pray that you respond to the Lord's invitation. If you're not yet a child of God, I mentioned earlier in my lesson that Jesus stretched out His arms and died on the cross and shed His blood that you might be forgiven. If you're willing to accept that sacrifice by means of confessing His great and holy name, by repenting or speaking sorrow for your sinfulness, and by being baptized and cleansed by the blood of Christ, raised to walk in newness of life, you can become His child today. And it is with love that I offer that invitation to you. God wants you to be saved. He's done everything for you. All you need to do is to accept that gift by means of obedience. Or it may be today, as we stand and sing in just a moment, you just had a struggle in your life. You've had a hard time in your walk with God, and you just need prayers of strength and encouragement. I am sure that the good folks here in this congregation would honor that request and would come to your aid and would encourage you in your walk with God. But you know what? That need will never be met unless it's made known. So please, I beg for you, if you'll have the courage to make your need known, I can promise you that need will be met. Please come as we stand and sing.